The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Miss first hour, a little Harden talk, a little Watson talk again, and that's pretty much it. And then somebody asked about Lamar and those guys going to the WAC. So the WAC is Division I basketball, but their FCS in football is the plan.
Almost everyone's Division I basketball. Almost everyone. Right. Like, if you're not, it's the gap between D1 and D2 is pretty huge because the gap between the top of D1 and the bottom of D1 is also really huge. So if you perform at a certain level at D2 for a certain amount of time, you're given the opportunity to move up. There's a couple, Bellarmine and Dixie State moved up this year. Like Cal Baptist moved up a couple years ago. Like it's every once in a while some teams will move up, but it is pretty rare. One or two a year, but those there's teams like that all over D1. Football is not that's not the case. Like there's far fewer. Like a third of the teams that play D1 basketball play D1 football also.
Yeah, that's about the right number. There's well over 300 Division I basketball teams, right?
And I don't know. I'm trying to think off the top of my head how many D1 football teams there are.
Well, for the longest time, it was 121, but I know there's a bunch more now, so it's probably closer to 130.
Because there's 357 college basketball teams. That I know, because I look at all these numbers that rank them 1 through 357 on KenPom every day. So that's a pretty big gap.
I used to know that, but it's gone up now because 129 Junior Broncos says. So, that's almost 130.
125 in FCS, 129 FBS.
Okay.
Okay. So almost a third, or a little over a third. Excuse me.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. So we're talking a little bit about the Harden trade. Did you see USA Today graded all four teams for the trade?
I didn't see USA Today's grade. I saw a couple teams or a couple spots graded. What did USA Today say? Your boys over there.
Whom I usually hate. The Rockets, they give an A+.
A+, huh?
A+.
I think that's a stretch, but okay.
Well, here's what they say. You could not ask for a better haul in a trade if you're Houston. This is easily one of the strongest returns in NBA history. They got four unprotected first-round picks, four pick swaps from the Nets, and a former All-Star at 28 years old in Victor Oladipo. Exum and Corrux are two fine young role players who might fit in Houston well, but they don't really matter. So, and then they mentioned the expiring contract. They can just take the cap space. It can also be flipped again after March 4th. So,
you got a lot of draft picks. You don't have a lot. You didn't bring in a lot of talent, especially knowing that Oladipo, like, clearly not going to be here beyond this year if he is, if he's here for all of this year.
Right. And you have no idea what the draft picks are going to be. So, to me, it's a little early to be giving them an A+. Of course, the Nets, they give an incomplete, which is just dumb. I mean, if you're going to grade something...
If you're going to do the exercise,
So if they win a title, they get an A. If not, this can't be any better than a C. Well, just give them the C now and then look stupid later. This is why I hate these guys. They have no... I mean, they've all been castrated. The Pacers get a B.
Okay.
For getting Caris LeVert. Says, no, LeVert isn't as good as Victor Oladipo when Oladipo's healthy and in his best. But he didn't want to be a Pacer anymore. So it's a win for Indiana.
Yeah.
Cavaliers, B+.
Okay.
Said basically jumped to this deal for nothing and stole a starting caliber center in Jared Allen and a rotation wing player in Taurean Prince. Prince hasn't been that good this season, but you'll take him if this is the cost. It cost them a first-round pick, but it wasn't their own, and it'll probably be in the mid-20s somewhere. So there you go. Do you agree with their assessments?
I don't agree with it. It's an A-plus for the Rockets. I mean, I think it's good that they – and my son was asking me about this yesterday. Is it a good haul for the Rockets? And I said, well,
could
they got
be.
Rid of James.
Could
I said, maybe it's good. We don't really know. But they got rid of him, and that's really the important thing. Like, it's not – the important thing isn't, you know, what they got in return. It's that they were able to move on from him.
And so he asked you, how long is the honeymoon with KD and Harden? I – don't know. I would be I'm sure it'll be fine at first, but it a lot depends on Harden's gonna have to go in there and realize KD's a better player.
Yeah.
And what are the odds of that happening? I mean, it's just it if he was serious that, okay, you know what, I need to be the second best guy, and he goes and plays that way, it could work. But that's gonna have to be a different James Harden than we've seen for 8 years here. And it's always possible. It's always possible he could change.
Sure.
You know?
Unlikely, but possible. Yeah.
In Rocky IV, Rocky changed. The fans changed. And if they can change, everyone can change.
That's right.
No?
Let's just use Rocky IV as a metaphor for life.
Oh, it is. It is. It's one of the great movies ever made for life metaphors. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get another call from Rick. Go, Rick.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going well,
it's
man.
Going sports. What's up?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, sports, go. Action.
I have a friend of mine that had a 17 parlay for $50, paying out like $3,500 on my bookie. 16's hit, the seventh game was postponed, and they canceled the bet. I would kind of think the postponed game would be a push. Obviously they can do that. I just didn't understand. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, he may want to reach out to customer service.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, they should give you the six-way parlay.
Exactly. In fact,
that happened to a friend of mine there, and they did pay it. It wasn't seven teams. You're playing seven teams, you're playing a lottery ticket.
Right.
But it was a four-teamer, and one of them, one of the games got canceled, so they paid it off for three. So yeah, he just needs to reach out to customer service, that's all. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And love it when callers call in and say hello, can you hear me? Yeah, just when you call in and we go to you, assume we can hear you. If we can't, we're gonna cut you off, and we're just gonna say, hey, sorry man, couldn't hear you, like we did the guy earlier.
I That's why I went to saying sports. I hate the awkward interaction between caller and host before, like, they start talking. Like, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. And then they, like, wait for an answer.
I'm getting paid to talk on air and be here every day.
Let's get it on.
I don't have the Rona. I'm doing great, brother. You don't have to ask me. I am doing fan-freaking-tastic. So I'll be doing a lot better if you just jump right in and say, you know, hey, I think the Texans should trade Deshaun Watson to the Philadelphia Eagles for Carson Wentz. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Would you like to know your Rockets starting lineup for tonight?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Sterling Brown, Ben McLemore, Jayshon Tate, P.J. Tucker, and Christian Wood.
Ooh.
Well, that's a team.
Yeah. No John Wall, huh? Mm. Yeah. Well, welcome to the...
That's basketball. That's a basketball team right there, Fred. That's a word for it.
Welcome to the Black Parade. This is the end. Oh, man. Oh, well. You know what? Maybe I'm not as interested in watching this team now as I said I was earlier in the show.
I mean, listen, like I said, if you go into it expecting mediocrity, then you'll be okay.
Is that even mediocrity?
Probably not.
I think that's down in the not so good range. I mean, how many starting lineups in the NBA are better than that one?
All of them. Well, not all not of them, all but of them. Many of them.
Yeah, I would say a significant amount. All right, let's get one more Harden call in from David. What's up, David?
Hey guys, hey, great to have you back, man. Great to be back at 100%. AJ, again, thank you for all you do, brother. Just checking in and asking about, would they have done better if the Ben Simmons trade had gone through? Do you think Houston would have been better long-term with Ben Simmons and maybe a couple second-round picks straight up for Harden? Or do you think they did better with the young guys? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Listen, I think that the trade that they got has more upside. We all know what Ben Simmons is. Ben Simmons isn't winning in Philly, and that's with another superstar by his side. So I don't think that this team with Ben Simmons as the key piece, Ben Simmons was the number two on that team, and they weren't winning. So, no, I don't think that Ben Simmons would have been the better answer. I get that you'd prefer to have him because he's the better player, but right now you're invested in John Wall at point guard. So you're going to have – Your two highest paid guys on the team are going to play the same position. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So no, I think that they did the right thing.
Yeah, and I guess it depends if you were planning on trying to tear everything down and build around Ben Simmons, you wouldn't have been able to make the Wall trade earlier because they're both ball dominant guys. They're both very similar players, and I don't think those two would have worked together. The only way I think it would have made sense is if you had a deal like you did with LeVert where we flipped Ben Simmons somewhere else for a bunch more assets that added up to more than what you got. And that might have been a good deal. But on the other hand, I feel like they did pretty well with this. And I don't know if it's an A+, but I thought they did okay. All right, let's one more. Luke. What's up, Luke?
Yeah, I wanted to get your take on Urban Meyer to the Jaguars and who his coaching staff might be.
Yeah, I got no idea who'd look at his staff. What I do know is he's got a history of hiring good coordinators, and he's more of a program CEO. But I don't have any doubt that he's going to put himself, he's going to surround himself with smart people. That's kind of a staple of Urban, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think he's always done a really, really good job hiring the right people, and I think that's what you look to get. I have not heard any names for his coaching staff. I'll be curious to see what he does. Because if he goes and hires a bunch of college guys, I might be a little more concerned. But if he goes and gets NFL assistants and puts together a veteran coaching staff with a lot of NFL guys, then I think it should work pretty well. Because Urban's not a hardcore X and O go in there kind of guy. He's a big picture kind of CEO type, and that works in the NFL as long as you have the right coaches. And he's going to get the best quarterback since Andrew Luck, at least prospect. He's going to have a lot to build with there. They got plenty of cap room. I would take whatever the Texans do. Over the next 3 years, I'll take Jaguars with Urban Meyer over Texans with fill in the blank.
Yeah.
All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. What's this Bieniemy story on there, Aaron? I guess they're just talking about the probability he gets a job.
Yeah, they're asking Schefter if they think he'll get a job, and he said, as of right now, all he's worried about is the playoffs and worried about working towards a Super Bowl.
Stop with that garbage. Yeah, that's stop, Schefter. Let's look at him. Jacksonville looks like it's going with Urban Meyer. Jets seem to be pretty close with Saleh. Falcons looking like Smith there. Getting narrow.
Yeah. Lions?
Lions? Who did I see for the Lions? There was somebody that, they hired a GM, and he's from the Rams, so that might go to your defensive coordinator that we talked about the Texans interviewing, which leaves the Chargers reached out to Urban Meyer, but nothing. So maybe these jobs are going to fill up a little quicker than we think.
Maybe so.
So, yeah, and it'll be interesting to, I guess you still have the Eagles.
Yeah, that's true.
Eagles are still out there. So I don't know. And people saying, would Urban Meyer hire Tom Herman as his offensive coordinator? I don't know if Tom would be a good NFL offensive coordinator. I don't know. I want to see what Urban Meyer does. I'd prefer he hire NFL coaches. So he says John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Oladipo is a big three if this was 2012.
Yeah.
Probably fair. So it's a three. I think we could just call it that. That's a three.
It's a three.
Yeah.
It's a medium three.
Yeah. I hope it shoots threes better than they used to. And somebody was mentioning that he was interested in Anthony Weaver for a position on the staff. I assume defensive line coach.
Oh.
I don't think you'd be hiring him as defensive coordinator.
I would hope not. That'd be oof.
Yeah, well, I mean, that they hired Mike Vrabel after a similar year as a head coach, and he did okay.
That's true.
But it may just be that the guy didn't have any talent here. I don't know. I saw a lot of I thought defensively, scheme-wise, they weren't as bad as their results because the talent was bad.
Yeah.
But then there's so many blown coverages and guys not knowing where they're supposed to be. That's on coaching. You know, that's you obviously haven't gotten it across to them where they're supposed to be in a given play. So I don't know. I mean, I hear good things about the guy, but again, if you're just going to judge him based on results, and it is a results-oriented business, 4-12, and they weren't 4-12 because their offense was garbage. They were 4-12 because their defense was garbage, and he was your defensive coordinator.
Yep.
But you know, as a defensive line coach, and they have to ask permission because these guys are all still under contract through like January, like the end of the month, I think, technically. Boy, people still want to weigh in on Harden. Let's get him.
All right.
Let's get Daniel. Let's go, Daniel.
All right. What is the bigger victory for the city of Houston? Bill O'Brien getting canned or Harden going to Brooklyn?
I mean, at least with the Harden situation, you get something in return. So I'd say it's Harden based on that. But I think it was time for both of these guys to beat it. I don't think that there's that you can really take one over the other. I think it was long overdue for both of them.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the O'Brien thing to me still isn't over until Easterby's dead. So there's still kind of the lingering effect of that. All right, let's try Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long time listener. I love you guys. You guys are hilarious. So today the Rockets, you know, on social media, they released a tribute to James Harden, and I looked back and I was like, man, you know what? This guy really gave us a lot of good times, a lot of good moments, a lot of good highlights. And yeah, we were all disappointed. I'm sure I'm not the only one that he didn't take us as far as we wanted him to, and that it was always a disappointment in the playoffs, and we were kind of expecting that. And I was one of the people that was saying, you know what? I think it's time to move on. We got to get rid of this guy. And yeah, the way he left, it looked bad. It gave a bad look to him. But at the same time, I look at it like as a normal human being, me putting myself in his shoes. If you're at a job and you're not happy and you see you're not going nowhere, and, you know, sometimes you just have to ask for a move or ask for a change or put your 2 weeks' notice in. So I'm like, I see people hating on him. I see people praising that he's leaving. What do you guys think he deserves the most? I'm out. Thank you.
Listen, yeah, James brought a lot to this city. He brought a lot of regular season success, and he made your team relevant. But you know, James is also complicit in this. This is a guy who had everything handed to him. Everything basically went the way the franchise was run, the way James wanted it to be run. James handpicked three guys that he said he could win an NBA championship with, and for whatever reason, ran all three of those guys off. So at some point, you start saying, okay, well, what's the real problem here? Is it these guys that he's bringing in, or is it him? And you know, it's like Fred. Like Fred, do you think you just kept picking bad wives, or more? I mean, you just maybe a bad husband.
You know, I think if I kept trying, sooner or later I was going to get a championship team together. It was going to happen. It wasn't my fault. I mean,
Okay. None of it was your fault. You sound just like James.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the correlation. But here's the thing.
I've done everything I could. You know, it's just a messed up situation, man. I don't think it's going to fix.
I mean, yeah, I accidentally slept with her friends, but you know, anyway.
If she can't get past that, I mean, what kind of organization is this?
And the intern, man, that was just a one-time thing. But no, the reality is sometimes you just need a divorce. And yeah, you can appreciate how much fun it was, how close they got, and look back on that. But also, it's a good time to look ahead. And when you do get a divorce, there's a good thing about it. You're suddenly free to get back out there. And
to spread your wings, as it were,
and or legs, whatever. But that's what the Rockets can do now. Is you know what, that it was fun while it lasted. It ran its course. I think it's a good thing for everybody, and I hope that the Nets are entertaining. I think they'll be that at least. All right, one more on Harden. DQ, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I called in earlier today to talk to Granado. It seems like he agreed with what I said. I said that we should have built around Dwight Howard about 4 or 5 years ago and not trade him away or not release him. If you look at him now, he has one championship ring. And the Lakers, they knew that he's a generational talent, so they brought in LeBron James and Anthony Davis to support him. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Okay, that's clearly a joke, sir. Clearly a joke and not very funny, but thanks for trying.
It's the thought that counts. he was actually chopping in and out for me on that call.
No, he was basically, the whole thing was to set up to say that that you know they should have kept Dwight Howard because he's a generational talent, and that's why LeBron and Anthony Davis went to L.A. to play with him.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I you know what, I appreciate the effort. It was, you know, you took your shot. Got a here's a little bit of advice on things like that. Get to the joke faster. Don't build the whole whenever you build
too much build up. You just get to your punchline.
Yeah,
you got to be rapid fire.
Yeah, because if you build it up that much and the punchline doesn't pay off, now we're spending 2 minutes talking about how the joke didn't work. So, yeah. And it sounds like Harden and the Rockets were the married couple together the last 2 or 3 years just because of the kids from Shannon and Beaumont. Yeah, except they put all their kids up for adoption. They'd keep them for a year and then put them up for adoption. That's basically what happened. So, 713-780-ESPN. Flimsy Jerry says, I don't think he's joking. Yeah, he's got to be. There's no way that was a serious phone call.
Yeah, the Lakers won the title last year with Dwight Howard playing 19 minutes per game.
Yeah.
Listen, it's
because NBA games end after 24 minutes, right?
That's right.
Okay, so we played more than half the game.
Yeah. No, that's a nice try. Somebody said Dwight guy stealing jokes. That's from John and Lance in the morning. Well, he did say he called John and Lance and tried that.
He's stealing his own joke from earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the other thing. You don't run the same joke on both shows.
No, because it probably flopped just as badly this morning.
Or don't admit to it.
You know, there's another thing, too. Is like sometimes somebody will tell a joke and nobody laughs. So you tell it again because you're convinced it's funny.
You've got a joke like that, that's a joke for social media more than the radio. Like, it gets more run if you put it on social media, if it's actually funny.
Yeah. But to be fair, you put it on social media and you're going to have people who take it seriously. They're going to be like, you're so stupid. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then they'll.
Well, all you have to do is put a cry emoji at the end of it, like a cry laughing emoji, and then everyone knows it's a joke.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, guys, I started a new pick three in this last race, so one for one heading into the next leg. And I bet it on my bookie while I was sitting here on a break. How about that? And two hockey plays I mentioned earlier in the show, an under and an over, both already in on mybookie.ag. And guys, if you're not on yet, now's the time. NFL playoffs this weekend. They've got live in-game betting. So once a game starts, If you miss the start of it, you could still get in on the bet if you like it. In NBA, college hoops, somebody's mentioning that first half under for the Rockets tonight, probably a good idea. MMA, soccer, everything is on MyBookie. They've got a mobile-friendly website, and that's another cool thing. I can sit there and bet on my phone. And right now, you'll get a half deposit match up to $1,000 if you sign up for the first time. Use promo code radio. And if you're not, the cool thing is if you already are signed up, they've got all kinds of specials going on constantly at MyBookie. It's mybookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Use promo code radio for the half deposit match up to $1,000. MyBookie.ag.
No masterpiece. Hey. 10 bad babs in the after me. Bad. One bad baby like a masterpiece.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. And we'll keep letting you guys weigh in on Harden and Watson and anything else your little hearts desire. Efforting... Brad Powers.
Bradley.
Yeah, talk a little college basketball betting. Well, you guys can talk college basketball betting because you're two of the best on the planet. I just kind of do what you guys say. Except when it comes to UH games. I've had a real good feel for them the last 3 years, when to bet against them and when to bet on them. But usually I just listen to you guys because you're smarts.
I think we both have our ups and downs.
Don't we all?
I mean, this ended up being a pretty good college football season for me, though. This is the second year in a row where I've been over 56% in college football. So that's always a nice feeling when it wraps up and you look up and you've made some good money at the end of it. You put in all that work and it's like, oh, well, at least it was worth it, right? I've always thought, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to do all that work anyway, and we get a lot of show content out of it. But it is nice when it pays off at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's nice to have a plus balance, and that's what you guys are working on with college basketball right now. And joining us, as he does every week, talk a little hoops now, Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Check him out at BradPowersSports.com. What's going on, young man?
Not much. How you guys doing?
We're hanging in there, Brad. We were talking about the Texas Tech game last night. And obviously a really nice win for Texas Tech. And Texas has won a few games in that very fashion. So it's not the end of the world for them, including the West Virginia game. They won on a last-second shot. It's not the end of the world for them. But, between Baylor, Texas, Houston, Texas Tech, this is a good time, a good season for basketball in the state of Texas. I mean, are you – would you say that all four of those teams have at least an outside shot at a Final Four at the end of the season?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do. Obviously, Baylor leading the way, leading the charge there. But I would not be a bit surprised, depending on how seeding goes. I could see three of those teams being in the Elite Eight. I mean, it's nothing fluky. I mean, all three are elite defenses. I think if you're looking at the adjusted defensive efficiency rankings, I think – Texas Tech, Texas, and Baylor are in the top six, all three of them. So, yeah, I think they're all built to last. And, you know, Texas won one of those games a few days ago against West Virginia and, you know, couldn't finish the deal. And obviously I think Texas Tech has one of the best coaches in the entire country.
Well, I'll throw some of this weekend's marquee matchups at you and see what thoughts you've got on them. How about that? Is that going to work?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start on Saturday. That you got Ohio State going to Illinois. Big Ten usually a real home court advantage. I think Illinois is probably, like, if you look at every team's record, you would say, well, Illinois is not that good. I think Illinois's got some really, really quality guys. I think they're really well coached. I think this is a team that come March could be very dangerous, although their record right now doesn't say that they're great. What do you think of that matchup? And are you as high on Illinois as I am?
I think obviously record doesn't look that good at 9-4, but from a pure power ratings aspect, I mean, it's clearly a top 15 team. And they're going to be, even though Ohio State is coming on strong here, I expect Illinois to be a small favorite. we'll see. I mean, it could be as high as maybe 5 points or so. But I think if you're looking to bet Illinois, I think this could be a nice solid run for them when you look at the upcoming schedule. I think this is a very important game. If they can beat Ohio State, then they're going to be favored against Penn State and Michigan State, and then they get the, you know, Iowa coming at home there. So if they can get a win here, I think this could set them up for at least a run here the next couple of weeks.
A couple ACC teams that have so far been disappointing, although Florida State looked really good last night, but North Carolina going on the road to Florida State. What do you think about those two?
You know what? I don't mind fading a team that just, you know, had by far their best performance of the entire season. Florida State's going to be a small home favorite, in my estimation, against North Carolina. But a team coming off a 30-plus point win, I'm looking to probably, you know, put, and obviously it all depends on the line, but I'll be looking to play North Carolina in that one.
Michigan, who, you know, maybe I'm going to be, I'll probably be the last one to the party on Michigan, is a great team. but it looks like Wagner's one of the more important defensive players there is in the country. I keep assuming they're going to slip up at some point, but they keep winning games. This is a pretty good team. They're going on the road to Minnesota. Is Minnesota the kind of team that could slip up the Wolverines?
You know, I thought so. The two teams played about 10 days ago, and I bet Minnesota in that game. That didn't work out so well for me.
No.
25-point loss for the Gophers. Who, you know, Minnesota's been a much better home team than road team, so I certainly don't expect it to be a blowout this time around. But yeah, honestly, tough going against this Michigan team. It's not like they've been fortunate in a lot of these games. I mean, they had just, you know, right after the Minnesota game, which I was super impressed with, and Minnesota was the best team they'd played all year, and then they turn right around and play a top-10 caliber Wisconsin team and blow the doors off them. So, you know, I was late to the party myself on Michigan, but right now, who's playing better basketball right now than Michigan the last couple of weeks?
It's hard to find someone. Two teams that are starting, you know, maybe off to a disappointing start in the SEC, but starting to really kind of find their footing. And one of them's Auburn with Sharif Cooper back. I think that makes a huge difference for them. And it showed against Georgia the other night. Kentucky, right when I thought they were kind of, you know, getting their stuff together, they get just blown out by Alabama, really just kind of dominated that entire game. But Kentucky is a team we know they're going to be better in February than they are in November or December. So they should be working towards getting better right now. What do you think of that matchup, Kentucky and Auburn?
Love the matchup. Not sure that I'm going to have a play on it. Want to play on both teams. In fact, I have played on both teams the last two nights. You know, Kentucky, you know, really disappointed me. I thought they had turned the corner. They had a couple close wins over, you know, below average teams in the SEC, and then they had their best performance of the season against Florida. I thought they had turned the corner at that point. But any time you got a team like Alabama that hits a higher percentage of three-point shots compared to what Kentucky did layup, you're not going to win a game. On the other side, I did bet Auburn last night. That was a nice winner for me. And not only getting Cooper back, but, you know, a big thing for me to watch will be Justin Powell, who's a very productive guard for them. It's been out the last two, three games. And they get him back against Kentucky, then I honestly am going to lean with the Tigers, who are probably going to be mispriced. And, you know, playing half a season without a couple of their best players, especially Cooper.
That we were talking about Baylor and Texas Tech earlier. They've got a big matchup this weekend. Baylor at Texas Tech, probably Baylor's stiffest test to date. What do you think of that matchup?
Yeah, Baylor's going to be a short road favorite. I kind of like the matchup because, the at least for Baylor's side, they've had an entire week to prepare for Texas Tech, you know, coming off a big win against Texas. You know, I'm not saying that they'll be flat or anything, but in a game like this, usually you might lean towards the home team, but without a lot of home court advantage, I think Baylor's going to take care of business there. And we'll see where that line comes. It'll probably be 3 or 4 points as far as Baylor being favored, and I'll probably lean with the Bears.
Should have a really, really aesthetically pleasing game between Virginia and Clemson, two teams that are pretty much all D, no O. Who scores 40 to win this one between Virginia and Clemson?
I'll lean on the Clemson side. It will be interesting to see what this total comes at. It's probably going to be in 114-ish, something like that. which obviously is going to be one of the lowest totals we'll see in college basketball season. But I'm going to lean on, even though Virginia's playing some really good basketball, they really haven't played anybody the last few weeks. I mean, the best team they played maybe was Notre Dame, and they played them twice, and they've always been a bad matchup for the Irish. So I just think taking a step up in class, going on the road, I'm going to lean to Clemson here by about a bucket.
And then lastly, before we let you go, Brad, I want to talk about Gonzaga, who I was talking to Fred earlier, probably has three first-team All-Americans, which is just a crazy thing to think about. Is playing Gonzaga first half, and I've noticed this year, and I don't know if it's COVID or what, but Mark Few, who's normally a guy who doesn't take his foot off the gas, normally he goes until they win by 50. But I've noticed this season he's doing that more in the second half. He's playing freshmen and guys who don't get playing time otherwise. He's playing them in the second half of blowouts. Rarely the starters even see the floor in these blowout games. Is playing Gonzaga first half going to be akin to playing Alabama first half in college football? Is that like almost the automatic play of the day?
You know what? I haven't dived into the numbers quite yet, but it makes a lot of sense. And that honestly makes a lot of sense for Mark Few to get some of his younger guys in there, because you never know with COVID when you're going to need some of those support guys and bench guys that might have to step up when the games mean something as we get towards March. But yeah, I'll have to. You got me onto that one now, so I'm going to have to do and see if that's indeed the case. And I'll say this: it's not like I'm rushing, and I'm sure a lot of shows are like this. I'm not running the window to lay 25 in a college basketball game like Gonzaga is going to be laying here in a lot of these games in the West Coast Conference. So, the first half makes some sense to me, and I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, they're playing, and if you'd played just the first half against BYU. Easy cover. If you played the full game, probably a push, and really you should have lost. And they're running after BYU, the two teams that seem to give Gonzaga the most trouble in that conference historically have been Pepperdine, who they play tonight. They're a 25-point favorite, but 14.5 in the first half. And then St. Mary's coming up this weekend, another team that they'll probably be it'll be one of their shorter lines of the season because it's at St. Mary's, so they'll be probably a 12 to 15 point favorite, but maybe a first line look there as well, because they're not going buzzer to buzzer like they did the last couple years where they're just dominating these teams.
Yeah, and I'd like to see, to take it a step further and see if it's, especially since they're going to this full conference schedule from this point forward, to see if Few's more likely to do it on the Thursday game, knowing full well he's got, his starters playing, just a 1 day rest, and then you got to go up and play a Saturday game. So I'm wondering if first half he is even going to be stronger on the Thursday games, wanting to get guys rested, knowing full well he's got a Saturday game on deck.
And this has become enough of a trend that, it's hard for me to even totally buy into what KenPom's, especially when they start playing, in the tournament, when they start seeing, real competition again. They played a really good non-conference this year, but when they get back into playing against top-level teams, it's going to be hard to look at their metrics and see what's real, because, they're going to profile lower than what they really are, because there's 20 minutes a game where their starters are sitting out. So, and they're, obviously their metrics are still pretty damn good in KenPom, but I think maybe they may be underrated going into the tournament, which is crazy for a team that seems to be hands down the choice all around to win the title.
Yeah, I worry about teams, and regardless of sport, when you don't get punched back in the mouth a little bit for a significant period of time, how are you going to react? But I at least saw enough in November and early December to say that Gonzaga is by far and away the best team. Would have loved to see that Baylor matchup as well.
Maybe we will.
I'm wondering
still
if they'll try to schedule somebody, because let's be frank. They're going to be easily a double digit favorite in every single game from this point forward in conference play. I'm wondering if they'll try to get another game or two of importance. Good luck trying to find somebody who wants to play you, but I think that would be good for Gonzaga, because I can imagine them getting bored here down the next couple of months.
I think so too. I think after this little stretch, they play St. Mary's and San Francisco again, and San Francisco is pretty good too, but they close out the season with BYU, so maybe they'll at least be going into that conference tournament pretty sharp.
Yeah, no question. And I can tell you this. A lot of guys that I know are chalk eaters told me even before the season and obviously after their hot start that even though Gonzaga was the favorite, they thought there was value, 6-1, 8-1, that Gonzaga was overwhelmingly the best team. I'm not following it as much as even you are in November, but to have multiple guys reach out to me and tell me that was a good value, but I just don't, that doesn't happen too often in college basketball.
Hey, before we let you go, I know Fred would love to hear your thoughts on this UH team. They lost sort of a disappointing game at the end of the year against Tulsa, a Tulsa team that just doesn't look right to me. So maybe UH was sleepwalking there. But what are your thoughts on them? They get Central Florida this week, which should be a solid game for them at home, and then they get Tulsa and Cincinnati next week. What do you think of the Cougars?
I think they're setting themselves up to get a nice high seed as far as the NCAA tournament because I think they're going to be a significant favorite in every single game from this point forward. I mean, obviously you got to avoid a hiccup like what you had against Tulsa, but I'm guessing that maybe outside of the Wichita State game on the road that they're going to be almost a double digit favorite in every single game. I mean, obviously defensive side of the ball really. Yeah, is their driver. I mean, top five nationally as far as efficiency. Obviously, they got a good chance. As long as they get a good seeding, and the worry always with the non-Power 5 sort of thing, I know Power 5 is more of a football term, but as well as I do, the committee doesn't always give the Houstons, the Wichita State, Gonzaga 10 years ago, they don't always give them the best and most favorable draw. So I think it's going to come down to that, but I think this team is at least Sweet 16 caliber.
All right, that is Brad Powers. You can find him at bradpowersports.com and, of course, bradpowers7 on the Twitters. Always appreciate it, Brad, and good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, bud.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
All right, and a little breaking news as we go to break here. Urban Meyer official to Jacksonville.
There you go.
All right. So we'll talk about that. We'll have a gym of the day. We're going to have a giveaway when we come back as well. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
And I suppose set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's Sam Houston Race Park Thursday, where we're giving away a pair of tickets in every show to see all the live action during the 27th annual Thoroughbred Racing season. Live racing begins at 6:45 p.m. on Friday and Saturday night. Every Friday night, enjoy $2 long necks and $2 wines. COVID-19 protocols will be strictly observed. Caller 5 at 5:55 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park. Get your wagers in as early as possible. Visit shrp.com for more info. I didn't know they were doing the 4 o'clock post time on Thursdays because that kind of screwed me up. I was planning on watching tonight when I get home and betting, but, just making my bets during the show. So I've been doing it with the Twitchers. Been doing my pick threes with the Twitchers.
Gotcha.
So Urban Meyer official. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but depending on who he hires as his assistants, I think he's going into a pretty good situation. You're getting a quarterback that I think most of us feel like is going to be successful. You got cap room, you got draft picks. I like it. I like it. I don't know that he'll work out as an NFL coach, but I think he has the temperament for it.
Yeah, I mean, and we all agree he's a pretty smart guy. Like he's a good coach.
Yeah. Well, of course, Nick Saban's a hell of a coach, and he couldn't do a damn thing in the NFL.
No.
So. But
he also never had the right quarterback, and if this is indeed if Trevor Lawrence is what we think he is, then that sure is a good start.
All right, let us do the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day.
the Manoc Jeweler Gem of the Day. Are you familiar with the actor Armie Hammer?
Yeah. I know that name.
Yeah, Armand Douglas Hammer. But
yeah.
He was in The Lone Ranger. He was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I really liked. I don't think anybody else liked that movie on the planet, but him and Henry Cavill. Fairly handsome dude. Have you seen what he's been in the news for lately?
I have not.
Well, he was supposed to be filming a movie in the Dominican Republic with Jennifer Lopez, and he's had to come home because when TMZ caught up with him, he said, "I'm not responding to these bull bleep claims. But in light of the vicious and spurious online attacks against me, I cannot in good conscience leave my children for 4 months to shoot a film in the Dominican Republic. Lionsgate is supporting me in this, and I'm grateful to them for that." So their film is going to be called Shotgun Wedding. It still is. They're going to get somebody else. Well, the scandal, basically, is about he DMing some women.
And, what, a famous dude?
Well, but how many famous dudes talk about drinking blood, eating body parts, and things like that?
I would guess a lot more than you think.
So there's a bunch. There's the cannibals are out there, huh?
They're over at Tom Cruise's house. You know, like, hey, what part of a young intern do you guys want to eat tonight? I've got a whole one. I mean, you guys pick the part. You want a leg? You
want one of Forrest's legs? But he's also portrayed as domineering, demanding these women call him daddy, repeatedly mentioning rape, biting, and marking in very raunchy sex talk. I don't know what marking is, but I don't, you know, I'm assuming it's not good.
Does it have to do with peeing on someone?
I don't know. But anyway,
I'm not in on the wild sex lingo, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I'm like a regular sex guy.
I understand biting. I know what that means.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
But apparently there's all kinds of cannibal stuff he's telling me he wants to do and eat and drink their blood. And
yeah, you know what doesn't turn me on? Cannibalism. Like, yeah, that's not good sexy time talk for me.
It's only cool when Alex Jones talks about it.
Who am I to judge? I mean, whatever floats your boat. I mean, I'm not here to tell anybody what they should and shouldn't do in their bedroom, but That's just not something I'm rushing to the hub and looking up the porn or the cannibal porn. It's just not my thing.
But clearly there's something to this. If he's leaving a movie set to come home, I don't know if he's married. I assume he is. He's probably going to be having to deal with that. Oh, if you marry an attractive young actor, you know he's doing other chicks, but I mean, I don't know if you know about the cannibalism.
Yeah, that part may be a deal breaker.
You probably keep that away from the wife. He married.
He probably thought if he was in some foreign country, who would notice if I ate some chick and she just disappeared forever?
Yeah. Okay, apparently on July 10th, 2020, they announced on their Instagram accounts that they were separating after 10 years of marriage. He was married to Elizabeth Chambers.
Okay.
Television personality. So, okay, so he's perfect.
So single.
Single, obviously has kids, probably has to come back and explain to the kids that he doesn't eat human beings. Or that he does.
Yeah. Listen, this isn't that weird for daddy. This is just something dad likes to do. Don't worry about it. I'll never eat your mommy.
She lost
her chance to be eaten.
She lost her fingers in an accident. That I didn't eat those that she knows of. Anyway, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Yeah, he hasn't done a whole lot of really big hits.
He's mostly famous for his name being Armie Hammer.
Yeah. Which, okay. But Lone Ranger was the biggest hit, and good choice. Man from U.N.C.L.E., like I said, that was a Guy Ritchie movie. I really liked that, but again, nobody else did. He was in Cars 3.
It
was the voice of Jackson.
Voice of the cannibal car.
Yeah, the car that was the Demolition Derby car that was eating up the other cars. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz. on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.